the bearer of bad news yet again, but you know what? I'm a realist. I'm operating in reality here. I'm looking at all the economic numbers in real time, and these numbers, they don't have a political bias, okay? They're just numbers. And right now, the president of the United States wants you to think that a recession is not inevitable. Okay, that's admirable. Let's hope, let's pray it's not inevitable. The only problem is, of course, it's already here. It's already here. We are in the midst of recession. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. I am so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're listening. Do me this favor. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Hit the bell as well if you're on YouTube so you get the alerts every single time we have a show. Do me this favor as well. Go to Apple, iTunes, Spotify. Subscribe and download the podcast, the full audio version on those platforms as well. We're brought to you in part today by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. You know how much I like gold than right now, given all this inflation. So go check them out, legacypminvestments.com. So the president is out saying, oh no, recession's not inevitable. Well, here's the deal. The Atlanta Fed, which is one of those organizations that the Federal Reserve, like the main Federal Reserve, actually pretty closely tracks, everybody pretty closely tracks, they just came out with a brand new number predicting the growth that we would have, or the lack thereof, I should say, in the second quarter. It turns out it's zero. Big, fat zero. So if you have zero growth in the second quarter, and that's probably being optimistic, I would expect that, you are in recession. We are in recession. I mean, look at what happened in the first quarter. Negative growth. Two quarters of negative growth equals a recession. So all the indicators are there. I mean, there's a new survey that just came out today showing two-thirds of American CEOs do believe that we are either in a recession or we're heading towards a recession. I think we're in one right now. And I don't know how you couldn't be, given the rise that we have seen in gas prices, now over $5 a gallon. This does have political implications, of course, because, you know, no one wants to be the president while you're in the midst of a recession. Because any which way you slice it, it's not partisan at that point. I think Americans just say, wait a second, you're in charge. My financial future has been compromised and you're in charge. And so they blame who's there, whoever it is. Now, if you ask me, I do believe that there are things that the administration could have done, should have done to have prevented this. And there's still things that they could do to gain control of it, but they're not going to take any of those options. In fact, if anything, the recession's pushing them further and further left. Somehow the idea is you just print more money, right? You give out more checks and more incentives for prices to move higher. So none of that's going to work, which ultimately means the economy will cost the Democrats in November. I mean, you look down in Texas, right, with the woman who just won there, and everybody's so shocked because it was a Democrat district. How could it possibly be true that a Republican might win? And I've made the point, one, that nobody should be thinking so much in terms of parties right now. You got to think in terms of what really and truly matters to Americans. And that's their livelihoods, right? It is the economy, stupid. And so, yes, a Republican won, but it's because it's effectively a referendum, if you would, on the economic policies that are coming from the left that just haven't worked. I mean, and you don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to look at gas prices or the stock market or the current recession that I do believe we're in right now. You can go around the world and look all over the place, and every country that's tried this has failed. Absolutely has failed. The most recent, of course, and perhaps one of the most interesting sort of parallels that we can look at would be Venezuela. 22 years ago, Hugo Chavez took over and packed the court, by the way, the Supreme Court there in Venezuela with all his buddies, took over the oil companies, took over everything with the idea that somehow you were going to spread the wealth among the people, destroyed any capitalist infrastructure that they had in that country. And now 22 years later, people are still paying the price. It's a darn shame. And we can't let that happen here. But this policy trajectory, that's where they're going. I mean, look, bottom line, I have faith in the American people. I have faith that the American people will do what's right when needed, because look, their future depends on it. Just look at what happened to mortgage rates overnight, practically. I mean, it's incredible. Upwards of 5%, you're looking at the biggest increase we've seen in decades in mortgage rates. And I think that will continue. I mean, they're trying to suck money out of the economy, and this is the way they're going to do it. We're looking at crude oil actually down a little bit today because there's fear about the overall economy. We'll see how this shakes out as we go through trading, but $115 a barrel. Gold, as I've told you before, continues to rally. This is one of these times where you want to start looking around, looking for other ways to invest. One thing to consider are these alternative asset classes. I mean, it's funny because the entire financial services industry is set up in a way that every single portfolio manager wants to go out and beat the S&P or be on track with the S&P. They don't care if the S&P is down 20% as long as they're only down 18%. It's not the way I operate, right? Like to me, okay, the S&P is up 30. They want to be up 32 or 34%. Here's what I would take any day of the week. I would take consistency in my portfolio year after year after year, regardless of what the S&P is doing. In other words, the S&P can be up 30. Yeah, great. I'd love to be up 30. But if I could be up 10 consistently or even 6 while the S&P is down, that's where I want to be. But that's not what the industry does. The industry is catering over and over these financial services professionals to this idea that somehow you just have to beat the S&P. Well, I want you to start thinking outside the box. One great way to do that is to look at alternative investments, alternative assets. Our friends over at Key City Capital, you saw Charlie Dombach on the program probably just the other day, has a lot of ideas on this front. I mean, whether it be investing in rental real estate, which by the way, rents are going up. They are going up in this environment. Right now, it seems as though real estate is really holding on to its value, but these are sort of income-driven assets, right? If you can be in debt driven instruments that pay a return, whether that be dividend stocks, whether that be bonds, whether that be asset-backed securities, these are the things that they can help you look at in this environment. So it's important to think through it all. They can be reached at keycitycapital.com/Trish. My name, keycitycapital.com/Trish. And Charlie's going to be back on the show soon. So we'll talk some more with him about it. But again, it gets back to this idea that you want different things. One of those different things, as I keep mentioning, might include, for example, a muni bond portfolio, a laddered bond portfolio. One of those different things might include dividend stocks. Now, you have to be really careful on this because a lot of times, you know, they'll say, oh, here's a great dividend portfolio. Well, is it really? I mean, do they actually, the stocks that are in that group, do they actually yield real dividends? I mean, you want to be above 3.5%, given that's sort of where treasuries are. We'll see how that shakes out. Treasuries are actually yielding a little bit less in recent days, only because everybody's freaking out and they're looking for safety, right? They're going to that safe haven. But if you can get 3.5 in a 10-year, then you want to make sure that the yield on your dividend stock is above that. And you want to make sure you're getting the stock at a good price, right? If the market's trading at 17 times earnings, you want to be a little bit lower than that, you know, 16.5 times earnings. So look for those bargains out there. I would say I do believe the market still has room to fall in this environment, only because one, you've heard me say before, the fear factor that we would normally see is not really there yet, right? The VIX is still trading around 33 and change. So we need to see probably more fear for us to really get a sense that there's full capitulation going on. So not enough fear. This is a logical sell-off. Let's face it, we're in recession, and the recession, frankly, could get worse. So as a result, companies are going to make less. That reduces their profitability, thereby reduces their stock price. So this is when you want to start thinking, what are my opportunities? If you have money to put to work long-term, you can go out and start looking at these dividend stocks. I think anything that's yielding more than 3.5% looks really attractive. Anything that has gotten kind of beaten up, but you know is a good, solid, blue chip company, these are the times when you might want to start building a portfolio like that. Other things you consider, I always say this, I've been saying this anyway, look at those I bonds. I mean, it's not a lot, but you can put up to $10,000 per family member in an I bond. It's a great way to save for kids' education, especially because you can take all that money out that grows tax-free. So that's a benefit. And then also, you know, don't ignore tech and growth. I mean, I think there's a good chance that it may be a while before we return to the heady days of meme stocks. And that's probably a good thing, right? You don't want to go back to that. But technology in general is still, in my belief, going to be a big driver of the economy in the future. You've heard me talk in the past about Web 3.0, the so-called metaverse. I do think that that's going to be huge. And it's quite possible that we are sort of in this 1999, 2000-esque kind of environment just before the web took off. And the web could take off in a big new way. So being on the lookout for companies that are involved in that, I think, is actually pretty critical. And as long as you've got 20 years on your horizon, hey, it's hard to go wrong in that environment only because there will be massive changes coming and you can hopefully capitalize on some of that. But I think caution is sort of the word of the day here. We need to be very careful. You need to be aware as well of the political dynamics going on. But I suspect that when push comes to shove, Americans, they're not okay with this. And so things will change, but it's going to take time. In the interim, buckle up, be thoughtful, and start looking for some good bargains. I'll see you. Well, gosh, it's Friday, right? So I'll see you on Monday, although I'll be all over social media over the weekend. You can reach out to me directly, actually, on Locals at trishregan.locals.com. Please go to my website. We've got all the greatest news right there for you every single day, trishintel.com. You can subscribe to my newsletter there as well, and I'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone.